Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Third Line Plugs SenseCast. I am your host, Taylor Gibson. Joining me, as always, from the tropical metropolis of Calgary, Alberta, my co-host, Tim Jensen. Now, Tim, I understand that due to the weather in Calgary this past couple of days, can we officially confirm here on the Third Line Plugs SenseCast that Calgary is indeed a tropical metropolis?
Yeah, it was like, I want to say 15 above. Although we're going back into the cold next week, hopefully for the last time.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood for sure.
Yeah, well, as long as we're not pulling a stuntman stew declaring that winter's officially over, then it snows. Well, Tim, I gotta say, man, like, I am very excited to get together today. Not only because we've got a couple of games to be talking about, but also because we guys have a great cover athlete to talk about for today's episode, Season 7, Episode 22, in chronological order, Episode 172, the one and only Thomas Chabot. So just a little background about Thomas Chabot. He was selected 18th overall by the Ottawa Senators in 2015 and is currently in his seventh season with the Senators. At the time of this recording, he has recorded 7 goals, 17 assists for 24 points in 39 games.
Yeah. What's funny is this has been an injury-marred season for Chabot, but it's also been one of his better seasons. He's been fantastic on both ends of the puck, especially compared to other years. And it's a shame that just injuries are slowing him down again this year. And in his game back this week that we're going to talk about, he had an absolutely beautiful goal against Carolina. The weird thing is like, especially with Chabot, it doesn't feel like, I heard someone say, it doesn't feel like he scores a lot, but when he does, it's impactful and always a beautiful goal.
Yeah, and it feels earned.
Yeah, because the poor guy does seem kind of cursed. It's almost like the rest of the team, like Thomas Chabot, feels cursed.
Yeah, and that is true because, I mean, when you look back at his first full season in Ottawa where he scored 14 goals and we were thinking, oh my God, we're going to have Carlson 2.0 here, and then injuries affected him. But, and you're absolutely right, I think you nailed it on the head there. Talking about Thomas Chabot, when he does score, when it happens, it's impactful.
Yeah, and like one of the things is, it is just so unfortunate because like the guy, when he's like reasonably healthy, like he does match that pace where he scored 14 goals, 41 assists in his first full season, 70 games there. And then last year in 68 games, he had 41 points, 11 goals, which again, for a defenseman, is absolutely nothing to sniff at. And we're seeing 24 points in 39 games this year. So a similar rate. And as much as I don't like the plus minus stat, he is only -3 on a team that is absolutely bleeding goals. That's commendable.
It's very commendable. And especially when you look at that roster, talking about the plus minus, where you see like how many players on this team are actually in the pluses for the first time.
Yeah, and it really does kind of go to show you that this team, and we're going to talk about it in some of the other the games we're going to talk about this week, where you look at some of the teams that are knocking on the door of the Eastern Conference, and they're frankly not very good. And if Ottawa just had normal goaltending, we'd be in a much better place. And it's just frustrating to see a team that's pretty close to there just miss.
Yeah, and it's absolutely correct. I mean, I feel that this is, in the years of being a fan, this is easily one of the most frustrating seasons to watch because you see the talent in front of you, and yet the goaltending is the one thing that fails us. It's not injuries. It's not inconsistency. It's goaltending.
Yeah. The nice thing has been like Ottawa's back end, we're starting to really see it solidify with Sanderson, Chabot, Chychrun, Brännström, and Zub forming a really nice core. And even JBD is starting to turn it around and actually develop into someone you could reasonably play on the bottom pairing.
Yeah, and that's not including a guy like Tyler Cleven either.
Mm-hmm. And even Max Gwinnett hasn't looked out of place either.
No, he looks like, I wouldn't say a great NHLer. He looks like an NHLer.
Yeah, and honestly, that's more than you can ask for.
It is. Now, we're talking about Thomas Chabot. Is there one moment in particular, or maybe a couple of moments, that when you think of the name Thomas Chabot, it immediately comes to mind?
Gonna have to say the Hot Zambacho goal. Because one, that was just a beautiful slapper that he scored on. And then seeing like half of the people in the crowd just like question their life choices when that video came on. Priceless.
I gotta say, and we've talked about this, like the Sen social media stuff. I don't think there is another team right now that could almost rival just how out of place, not out of place. What's the word, red word I use? Just kind of the almost chaotic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got Hotsen Bacho, you had the Sen Sickos, Borocop was a thing,
Gulk.
Gulk.
Oh, what other beautiful. Try to. I feel like there were some good ones from this season that just kind of got away. Actually, I don't know. I feel like this season, the vibes just aren't here.
No, the vibes is, yeah, and you know what's funny? Lalime's Martian mentioned that on Twitter the other night. He said that it just seems kind of dead.
Yeah, well, it's like dead or angry. And then, like, it's not even like I use Blue Sky. It's not there either. And it's weird.
Yeah, I'm not on Blue Sky myself.
Maybe we just touched grass.
Maybe. I mean, you know, with the nice weather we're having both here on Vancouver Island and in Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah,
Yeah, you gotta
entirely
go.
possible.
Man, I gotta tell you, I went outside yesterday. I went for a walk up the mountain. It was really nice.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, I didn't go like all the way up Zuhalem, but I kind of went just straight where the golf course is and just did the loop around there.
Oh, okay. Oh, I haven't done that walk in a while.
It's not a bad little walking up. But now, when talking about Thomas Chabot, there's a couple of moments that really stuck out for me. Hotsen Bacho is definitely one of them, but I think I credit that towards Brian 5 or 6. There was a goal, I can't recall what, I think it was 18-19 or 19-20 against Nashville, where he danced around a defenseman, and I think it was either Saros. It might have, no, I think it was Saros. It wouldn't have been Pekka Rinne. And it went over his right shoulder. And he just did the Vince Carter. It's over.
Well, I guess there's the other one. It's like Thomas Chabot's first game as a Senator in that 2016-2017 season. It wasn't anything to like super write home about, but he just looked good, and it was like, you know what? There's something here.
Yeah, and even the 17-18 season where you saw him and Carlson together, and you just think it was more of a, could you have imagined
Yeah.
if Carlson was in his prime and Chabot joined just a few years earlier?
No kidding. That game against Winnipeg in his first season scores twice and gets a helper on Duchesne's goal.
You know what I'm, you know what I'm still kind of choked about? When I was out in Ottawa for the outdoor game, they
Sorry, it was the
had,
last game. My bad.
sorry, no worries. It was in the, it was at Lansdowne in TD Park, or sorry, TD Place, and they were selling Sens jerseys there, and they had the NHL 100 Classic Chabot one, and I was so pissed, because I bought the stone one like the day or two prior. And I was like, I looked at that, I was like, shit, I should have held out and bought the Chabot one instead.
Honestly, fair.
Yeah. But you know what? I got the stone one hung up now with the ticket stub, so life is good.
Yeah. And like the stone one looks good, let's be real.
No, it really does. It really does. Now, moving away from Thomas Chabot, Tim, we got to announce who next week's cover author is going to be for next week's episode, Season 7, Episode 23, in chronological order, Episode 173. Now, as you recall, Tim, back in Episode 73, we talked about Guillaume Latendresse, a member of the NHL All-Name team, because that's just a great name. But we figured there was another player that wore 73. Jarkko Ruutu is going to be our cover athlete for next week's episode.
Yeah, and Jarkko Ruutu's interesting because like he was a Senator in that weird period just after Heatley left, where there was a year where they just whiffed the playoffs entirely and then came back and was actually an interesting part of that Sens first round loss against the Penguins.
A playoff series which will forever be immortalized by the words, "So you're an expert.
Were you there?" And honestly, it was just a, even though the Sens weren't amazing and they lost in the first round, it was a really fun season, really fun series to watch.
Even though we were on the losing end to Crosby once again.
Yeah.
That's okay. We only would be on the losing end two more times after that. I'm dying inside. So, Tim, let's move away and talk about some cover athletes, because I got to ask a question. It's a question I love asking every single week, and I know that you love hearing about. How's everything been going?
It's been good. Busy reno. Busy with renos. We got the taping and first layer of mutter up. So hopefully it's sanding, and anything else that has to go with it goes smoothly.
Yeah, and that's all you can really hope for, right? In renos like that.
I do have a funny story, though.
Okay.
So at church the other day, we were doing this fundraiser for Christians living in the Holy Land. And given that the region's in a state of war, it's been pretty dire for them. So they sell a lot of like crucifixes and stuff. And the money goes to support those people living in the Holy Land. So I bought a crucifix, and then I went up and I was actively part of the mass where we had to proceed in and out in front of everyone. And I thought it'd be weird if I was holding the crucifix. So I kind of like put it into what I thought was a secure pocket in the inside of my coat. As we're getting out, walking out from the, as no sooner do I get out, I hear clunk. And I look behind me aghast, and there's just Jesus laying face down on the ground. I dropped the crucifix.
Again. Yeah, that's okay, Tim. It's only almost two decades removed from that, so.
Did we tell the story about the time that I knocked Jesus off a crucifix in, like, ninth grade?
I think we did, but for those who are new listeners, I think we did tell the story. So, Tim and I both went to a Catholic school. He and I were in the same class together. And in ninth grade, were we messing around? Like, how did that happen? Did we mess around?
No, we were moving the prayer table because we had to clean behind it. So I picked up the crucifix to move it, and then Jesus fell off the cross.
I think the best part of the story is that we all looked at each other going, "Oh, shit, Jesus fell off the cross.
Jesus fell off the cross."
And we're like, "Oh, my God, Mr. McClavery's coming." So we got the scotch tape, and we taped it back to the cross.
And there's just like a band of clear tape around Jesus' torso. And I think he noted, like,
he must have noticed.
He must have noticed, but I can't remember if he commented on it or not.
I think after a while, I think he saw, like, you, myself, a bunch of people kind of like biting our lip, kind of having our heads down, like, "Don't say anything, don't draw attention to it." And he said nothing.
Just said nothing. It's like,
and it's so obvious, we could see it. It was facing us, and you just see like the wad of tape around him.
Just like, oh no. So yeah, I dropped Jesus again. This time in front of about 200 people. And then I just picked it up and I looked. I was like, "Oh shit!" Without saying anything, I just picked it up and walked out as if nothing happened.
Honestly, I hope your mindset when you picked him up was, "Thank God you stayed on this time."
Well, I paid $120 for it, so I would hope that he didn't fall off immediately.
Yeah, now I was gonna say for $120, I would hope a crucifix would stay together.
Yeah. It's a nice piece. And of course, the money's going to support people in need. So I'm happy.
Yeah. Now, that's not the only thing that you got up to this week, Tim. Now, your lovely wife, Chelsea, posted on social media that you got to play the new Macross game.
Yeah. So Macross Shooting Insight came out in Japan early last week. And I got my copy shipped here on Friday. And so it's a shoot 'em up style game. So it's one of the, you know, like Gradius or R-Type or one of those type of games where you're the little spaceship and you're shooting enemies.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like that, except it's just got a much more modern interface, and it plays pretty nicely. So like And they took some of the things that they implemented into previous 3D shooters from the Macross games, like being able to roll and shoot down missiles flying at you and stuff like that, and kind of incorporated into it a more modern shoot 'em up game. And yeah, it's really fun to play. I'm not very good at it, so I'm still like muddling through the first few levels. And the difficulty curve's kind of all over the place.
Right. Is it more of just an inconsistency curve or
I
what?
think it's inconsistent. Just because, like, there's this a weird rights issue around Macross where in North America, one company owns the rights to the first series and only the first series, while a different company, Big West, owns the rights to everything else.
Right.
And the first company, Hardy Gold, really flexes their ownership of the right despite not doing anything with it.
Okay.
So what you have is that Big West can, they brought over shooting Macross Shooting Insight. The game is intended to, well, it has these missions, including characters and stuff from the first show, Super Dimension Fortress Macross and Do You Remember Love? But they include it as pack-in DLC only in the Japanese version because they can't sell it in North America because Harmony Gold has been like, yeah, no. To the point where you can actually compare the cover art for the two games, and one of the characters is obviously missing. And for listeners, if you want to see it, it's very funny. Look up Macross Shooting Insight, English cover, Japanese cover, and you will notice that the character in the center of the Japanese cover is just not there.
Okay, so it's not like when you, I guess maybe back in the day as well, where you have a game cover that came out North America and it's vastly different than the ones in Japan.
Yeah, it's not like that. Not like that at all. So here, I'm going to send this to you, Tay. It's just very funny.
Okay.
Where is the chat? There we go. And like this ended up being kind of one of the key visuals. And the character in the center, Lin Min Mei, is just not there.
By the way, how is it we've been using Zoom this whole time, and yet this is the only time we've ever used the chat?
We're boomers.
Oh, I tell you, you know what? There are some things that boomers have, like the attitudes they have. I look at that and I'm like, you know what? I get it. Like stuff like streaming services. I understand where they get very upset. We're like, well, what do you mean I don't own it? That's stupid. I have to pay for this every month. Shit like that. I get that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look. See.
So yeah, there's character.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
I'm just looking at it right now. Yeah, the blue hair girl in the middle is not even there.
Not even there. Very funny. The only thing that would have made it, I can't even think the only thing that would have made it funnier is if there was like a third plane in the Japanese version and only two planes in the English. That might have made it funnier, but it pretty darn funny.
That is pretty darn funny, Tim. I'm just looking at that right now. I still can't believe it. And it's so obvious, too. It's so obvious. Now, for me, I don't have too much to update here for this past week. I did get a new phone. Wasn't planning on it, but I got it. But there is something that I do want to talk with you about, because a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about in Major League Baseball, they have a contract with Fanatics to do their uniforms for this season. The response on social media towards these things has been hilarious, because I've seen, and I will be very honest with people, I'm not a diehard baseball fan, nor am I really a casual baseball fan. These uniforms look awful. And you know what makes me sad? The NHL's next.
Yeah. And it's not just they look bad. And for the athletes, there's been sourcing problems. The emblems often aren't printed right. It's gotten to the point where some of the players have considered filing a grievance.
Yeah, and we've noticed that with the Fanatics jerseys. Like, obviously, for described audio, Tay is holding up an Ottawa Senators jersey. A Thomas Chabot Senators jersey. This is the one made by Adidas. As you can see, it's got the actual logo. My Tim Stutz, the one behind me. is not even, it's printed on. It's not even like the actual logo, and you can tell. Like, the big thing I've noticed, the helmet on the Centurion is very, very like bright, and I like it on the Adidas. It's so dull on the Fanatics. It looks awful.
Well, I remember when this jersey was revealed. Wow. It has been 3 years since it was revealed. In giant tiger. And the Fanatics, people were like, is this what it's going to look like?
Yep.
So, like, yeah, I'm just worried that now that, like, Fanatics has the contract and seeing the prop. Major League Baseball has see-through pants because of Fanatics. Like, I think I might just sit this one out.
Yeah. Honestly, though, we're happy with our jerseys. And again, it goes back to what we're saying. I do not understand why the NHL would... And think of it. They had Nike. They had Under Armour. They had all of these companies that wanted that contract.
Well,
here's the thing. They went with Fanatics.
Well, here's the thing. If they went with Nike, they would end up getting Fanatics anyway. Because that's where the MLB is.
Yeah.
But it's just like...
You could have had Under Armour. That's what I'm saying. Imagine an Under... Like a really... really nice Under Armour NHL jersey. That thing would have breathed so nicely.
It really would. It's just like, ugh. I'm not happy about it.
No, I am not happy about that at all. I mean, that's such an eyesore for baseball. And hockey's going to be next. And that's what really makes me sad about it.
Yeah, and it's... And it sucks because, it, like, for MLB, like, sure, what... the baseball shirt, it's just such an iconic look.
Yep.
And they screwed it up.
I really, really don't get it, Tim. But I'll tell you what I do get is the time of the episode where we got to segue into this little segment I like to call Top of the Hour. Not bad, not bad. So, Tim, I do want to add one quick story here to Top of the Hour. And it's something that I failed to add it into the rundown here. So there was a social media post I saw this past weekend regarding the Carolina Hurricanes potentially doing a new logo. I looked at it's more of an updated version of the ones they have now. I look at it, I'm like, no. It looks like a minor league team, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's the problem when you see, here's a tweet that I heard, maybe this person's going to change, or this team's going to change their logo. And here's what me, social media graphic designer, came up with. It's never good, and I'm not sure it's ever really worth putting much too much bother about it, really.
No, but it is something that I saw it regardless. Felt we had to make a comment. But honestly, it's just one of these things where, again, just stick with the logo, guys. Come on, Carolina. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So kicking off Top of the Hour, we got to give a quick shout out to Montreal Canadiens head coach Martin St. Louis, who took a leave of absence from the team for family reasons.
Yeah, it's sad, but hopefully the time away from the team, the family reasons are either resolved or... It's always so hard when you just don't know what it is, right?
Yeah. And here at Third Line Plug, we don't like speculating on stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just let them take their time, do what they got to do, and come back strong. We also got to give a couple of other quick shout-outs here, Tim. Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury recorded his 560th win and 75th career shutout.
I think we said the last time Flower closed out a record this season, it's been a heck of a career.
It has. As much as like the NHL and the fans have really dunked on Flower in the past, and for right and rightfully so at times, when it's all said and done, it's going to be what he did over his career.
And the weird thing is, he's not even having that bad of a year this year.
No.
Like the NHL, like, sure, he's posting a .0906. Save percentage is down in the NHL this year.
Yeah. Well, imagine a Fleury play for the Sens. Christ, we'd be in a playoff spot right now at that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Honestly, I think Fleury is going to be the last of his kind. Not because he's going to be hitting 500 wins, which you're going to have to see a very elite goaltender with the way that they're doing the tandems. But also, you're just not going to see... I don't want to stake a claim here, Tim. I do not believe we're going to ever see a goaltender play at 18 years old in the NHL again.
Yeah, it's tough to envision, just given how long a lot of these top prospects take to get to the NHL. And on the other end, how long a lot of these goaltenders are lasting. Like, Fleury is probably going to play until he's 40. Craig Anderson played until he was over 40. And there just aren't that many goaltender slots in the NHL. And no. It does seem like it is taking a bit longer for players to get accustomed to the NHL as well. Like, we've seen it with Sogard and Dustin Wolf this season. Two fantastic goaltenders at the AHL level, but just getting tuned in the NHL.
Yep, but then you're seeing goalies like Joey Decord, who took his time, developed, got some seasoning, and now he's a starter in the NHL.
100%.
Now we're going to talk about his teammate, Seattle Kraken forward Jordan Eberle, who also played in his 1,000th career game this week.
I never know what to think about Jordan Eberle. Because as far as the underlying metrics go, he's been like a bit of a whipsaw player, but usually on the right side of pushing the puck where it needs to go. But when you look at the counting totals, it's just, it leaves you wanting more. At 700 points at 1,000 games, that's like good for kind of a second first line tweener, I guess.
Which is what he is.
Which is what he is. Drafted at 22nd overall. Not bad. Like, that's pretty good for where he was drafted, but it just always feels like there's more to Jordan Eberle, you know?
Yeah, and maybe... I don't know why he never got more out of it. Maybe it was just the way that he developed at Edmonton that didn't translate. Or maybe he got into a groove and be like, well, this is what I am in the NHL.
But it's also so weird to me to see that his only 30-goal season was that second season he played in 2011-2012. And I guess arguably the lockout-shortened season, he was playing at a 30-goal pace and then just never went back.
No, but he's been a very steady hand in every spot he's played in. Most notably for me, I mean, definitely the Islanders, but just seeing how he's been playing for Seattle, really, he's been probably, I don't want to say a folk hero, but definitely one of those fan favorite players for sure.
For sure. Like, I think he goes into the Hall of Very Good, but I always felt like there was more to Jordan Eberle, and it just never came out. So I always feel a little conflicted about him.
No, I would absolutely agree with you on that, Tim. St. Louis Blues general manager Doug Armstrong was named general manager of the 2026 Team Canada Olympic team. He's going to have the easiest job when it comes to picking Team Canada for the Olympics. Basically, all you got to do is just open the NHL.com website, go to point totals, pick every Canadian player from that.
Pretty well, there's that. And then don't meme yourself to think you could eat someone like Joel Edmondson or something like that.
Yeah, or did what Bobby Clark did in the 98 Olympics. I'm trying to remember the player he picked up, but he was like a third, fourth line grinder. Like a guy who would have never sniffed the Olympics regardless. Because I feel like Gretzky to me in 2002... And even Stevie Y in 2010, you look at those rosters and their bottom six were scoring 400 or 500 goals in the NHL.
Oh, yeah. But that was just how those, like, everyone else's Olympic teams were kind of built that way. Like, the American team was, the scoring power wasn't quite there, but they were also, this is just a team nobody scores on.
Yeah, I mean, the 2026 Olympics, this is going to be hands down the most competitive Olympic Games for hockey we've ever going to see. Because
Oh, it's.
Canada's not the favorites. Because you look at the Americans, who I feel would be the favorites going into that. We look at their roster. You've got, I mean, obviously Russia won't be going, but you've got Sweden. You've got Czech Republic. You've got these other countries. Germany is on the way up. You look at the countries like that, and you're like, there isn't a clear-cut winner.
I don't think so. And it's like, it's going to be one of the most anticipated tournaments too, eh? Just because we haven't had a tournament like this since I lived in Victoria.
Yeah, what would it have been? Was that the 20? Was that the World Cup of Hockey? 2016?
I was thinking of the 2014 Olympics, and yeah, the World Cup of Hockey was 2015.
Was it 15? I thought it was
It was either
16.
15 or 16. But that almost doesn't really count. Because they had like the two gimmick teams, right?
True, and that's funny. The players from those gimmick teams, like the Austin Matthews, the Connor McDavids, guys who are rookies in the NHL, are going to be the ones spearheading the Olympic Games. Because honestly, for Doug Armstrong, when you look at Team Canada, I think the big question is, who does he take first?
Well, you're. Top line. Do you play McDavid and McKinnon on the same line?
Oh, I don't know. That's the thing, because I mean, down the middle, you've got, oh my God, McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby, Bedard. Just, yeah, you just, that's your top four right there. There's your centers if you want to go that route. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who you would take. Maybe McDavid would be my pick if you're going first pick for Team Canada.
Well, yeah, it's
Take
gotta.
the best player in the NHL right now.
Well, like some of the line, like this is just one that the Hockey Writers threw up. You have Braden Point, McDavid, Marner, Crosby, McKinnon, Bedard, Jared McCann, Stamkos, Verhaeghe. Well, they have Dylan Cousins, Hopkins, and Stone. Like you put Stone in there as well. Like Canada's forwards are pretty wild.
Yeah.
And then defense is where it gets a little shakier, though, eh?
Well, yeah, and then you got in goal, especially with the whole Carter Hart situation. It's just, who do you go with now? But here's a name, like
Aiden Hill.
Aiden Hill, maybe Devon Levi in Buffalo.
Yeah.
But let me throw a name out there. Given he's going to be hitting 50 this year, what about Sam Reinhart?
Sam, ooh, that's a good call.
Does Sam Reinhart get elevated to, we talked about him going to the Olympics?
Given how he's played in Florida, I think you have to.
Yep.
The American team looks nuts, though. Like some of the things you could do with the US team is nuts. How about this for a top line for the Americans? Matthew Tkachuk, Austin Matthews, Brady.
Oh my God. So much meat on that line.
Then followed up with Jason Robertson, Jack Hughes, and Eichel.
And then,
That's messed up.
dude, that's your top six. And then who do you have on your third line? Would it be, what, Caulfield,
Larkin.
Larkin, DeBrincat?
You could have DeBrincat. You could have Kyle Connor. There's so many options. And then the defense is insane. Like Quinn, with especially with the ascension of Quinn and Luke Hughes. Quinn Hughes, Charlie McAvoy, Adam Fox, Jake Sanderson, Luke Hughes, and Jacob Slavin. And then your goaltenders are Hellebuck, Ottinger, and Demko. Like, that's insanity.
Like I said, Ben, this is going to be one of the most highly anticipated Olympics we're going to see in a long time.
Yeah, like just so much talent available, and I don't think Canada is a favorite, as you were saying. Yo, could you imagine Brad Marchand in the Olympics?
I think he went in 14, didn't
I
he?
think he did, but like this, that was before the lick.
This is so true.
Heel turn, Brad Marchand.
Oh my God. God, I cannot wait for these Olympics, Tim. Now, in the meantime, though, Tim, looking ahead a couple of years. Now, I don't know if you've been following the NHL news, and I hope you have, because this, to me, is one of the biggest news stories of the week. Alpharetta Sports and Entertainment have announced they made a formal request to the NHL in regards to bringing an expansion team to Atlanta, Georgia.
You know what? If the ECHL team does consistently well there, maybe it's time to give the NHL another shot with an ownership group that has the ability to actually put a proper team together.
Yep, because I know, like, even on March 2nd, they did their Thrashers night at the Atlanta
Gladiators.
Gladiators, thank you. It was a sellout. I know, like, even in the year 2024, I did not picture an Atlanta Thrashers podcast starting up. We have one of those now.
That's sick. A team that no longer exists, unless they are talking about the Atlanta Gladiators as well.
Yeah, and the podcast itself, and I believe I have mentioned these guys, this guy on the podcast, Blue Land Eris, great guy. I follow him on Instagram and on TikTok. And let me see if I can bring him up real quick, because honestly, I feel like this guy really deserves to get that recognition, because honestly, I get where people have issues towards expansion. I get it. You don't want to water down the talent pool that you have in the NHL. But then again, you got to think, unless you're a fan of an original six franchise, you have no reason to bitch about expansion.
Pretty much, right?
Because, let's see, there's 32 teams now. Oh, actually, sorry, let me rephrase that. Unless you're a fan of the original six, the Carolina Hurricanes, or the Edmonton Oilers, or actually in the Arizona Coyotes, you have no reason to bitch. Carolina, Edmonton, and Arizona were all WHA teams.
Yep.
The rest of us, including the Senators, were all expansion teams.
Like, I get it. One thing is, I do like 32 teams. Half the teams make the playoffs, half the teams don't, and I'm not sure about expanding the playoffs.
Yeah, because then you get into a level where, like the NBA, where you have your play-in rounds.
I don't mind those if they're done right.
Yeah. Sorry, just talking about the Thrasher podcast, live from Blue Land. That's the name of the podcast.
Okay.
I think when it comes to Atlanta, and you and I have talked about this in the past, is that the Golden Knights really are the standard of which how to properly run an expansion team. And given that the NHL, unlike previous attempts in Atlanta and other expansion cities they've gone to, they're giving teams a chance. Now, they're not giving as big of a chance to give to Vegas, but they're giving you a chance. So if you fuck up, that's on you.
Pretty much.
That's like, not on the league.
The other funny thing about it, though, is like, Seattle had the same chances given to them that the league gave Vegas.
Yep.
They just didn't do it as well. So I think Atlanta getting another kick of the can should have a better team than the 99-2000 Thrashers.
Well, at the very least, you're not going to be able to draft Patrick Stefan again.
That's for sure. And you're not going to have top scorer Andrew Burnett.
No. But then again, you're also not going to get a Heatley or Kovalchuk out of that too. So
that's for sure.
Yeah. Actually, could I throw a name out here for the team in Atlanta? Because I was thinking about this a couple days ago when I was reading this story. Because you know how their previous two teams, the Flames and the Thrashers? I think the tagline for the team should be rising from the Flames and Thrash is the Phoenix. What about the Atlanta Phoenix?
Could be all right.
Because it stays with the bird.
Yeah.
Stays with the bird motif. But also you're rising from the ashes of those two teams.
Or we could just go back to the Thrashers.
Do you want that sort of bad voodoo on that team, though?
Do you want those jerseys back?
You know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this. I didn't mind those baby blue jerseys they had.
No, they're nice. I like them.
Yeah, they surprisingly held up.
I know I've said this in the past. I don't get the love for the Hartford Whalers jerseys.
Nope.
We need more love for the old Thrashers jerseys.
Oh my god, even their away whites. I always like the logo. I always like the brown goldish logo of the Thrasher Bird.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is very cool. The Buffalo Sabres have notified certain season ticket holders that they will need to purchase a statewide $5,000 reseller license before renewing their membership. Now, the reason why they're doing this is because there are certain season ticket holders, and the Sabres talked about this. The reason why they're doing this is because there are season ticket holders who don't go to the games. They only buy the tickets to resell them.
Right.
Most notably to a certain team an hour up the road.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is rough. I mean, good Lord. But I don't think it would be for all season ticket holders. I think they kind of know who they're going after.
Right.
But I don't know. Have you ever heard a situation where a team is doing something like this?
No, I don't think I have.
Look, I get why they're doing this, but honestly, it's just kind of surprising that they're the first team to be doing it, question mark?
It is a weird, it's kind of a weird thing to think about, because like, I guess if you're selling enough of your tickets, then yeah, you kind of are operating as a reseller.
Yeah, but I know that there are sports fans out there that will buy season tickets, and they purposely will sell the big game tickets for sure. Like for hockey, it would be like an original six team or a Vegas. Or hell, if you want to do football, like the Cowboys, the Packers, teams like those, right?
Yeah.
And like they will make their money back hand over fist. But I don't know where I stand on this, to be honest with you. To me, if you're buying season tickets, your intent is to go to the games.
I think so, yeah. Or at least I would hope so.
I mean, I would hope so too, Tim. I would hope so too. Now, the one thing they didn't talk about this when talking about season tickets is these games that they're selling are only going to be played in Buffalo because the NHL have announced numerous games to be played in Germany, Czechia, and Finland next season.
Well, that's cool. I guess it's like, I say that's cool when it happens, but then, sorry, when it's announced, but then when the Global Series actually happens, I'm like, why?
Yeah, it's not the way that this podcast is operated, though, Tim. We're always just like, oh, it's cool. And then we don't watch it.
And it's like, why?
It's a thing that happens. Although, I think with the game, or one of the games played in Germany, they're going to be playing the Munich Red Bulls, the DEL team, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
You're doing like an exhibition game between them, but yeah. So sticking with, now we're going to move away from talking about the European teams, so Tim, we're going to go back to talk about the NHL, because the NHL and the NHLPA have announced a resolution on the Corey Perry contract termination by Chicago earlier this season.
What resolution was publicly announced? Or did they just announce that they had resolved it?
They just announced they had resolved it. There was no real public statement. That was just all that was published for that I could find out.
Yeah, I guess that is very, very NHL at this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Calgary Flames renounced the rights to unsigned draft pick Topi Ronne following being found guilty of sexual assault.
Yeah, you kind of do that.
Yes. Yes, you do. Now, closing on top of the hour, Tim, we actually got to talk about a signing. The Philadelphia Flyers have re-signed Nick Seeler to a four-year, $10.8 million contract with an AAV of 2.7.
I don't really have much to say about this one. Like, Nick Seeler's is fine?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I always have a hard time with these middle ones. For a player that you don't watch a lot, is $2 million too much for that third line player? You know?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat you are regarding that, because for me it's just good on the player for getting that bag, but also I know nothing about this.
Yeah, like it's definitely easier to talk about like even second line players around the league. It's like, okay, like I know what you're doing. Like I know what you do. I like what you do. But then again, like I think defensemen definitely do get they get a bo like they definitely get that bonus and but we are talking about a third, like a third pairing defenseman who is over 30 and doesn't have that same ability to play up and down the lineup like Erik Brännström. So I'm not sure if I like this or not. I don't know enough. I don't watch him play to really pick apart if I'm mad at 2.x instead of just 2 or 1.5. You know, but 4 years for a guy who's turning 30 does seem pretty long.
Yeah, but maybe it's one of those contracts that if it doesn't pan out, they could just bury him.
Yeah. It's a bit harder at 2.7 than 2, obviously.
Well, Tim, I guess that wraps up top of there for this week, which can only mean one thing. It's time to talk about some games. Now, we've got not one, not two. We're going to give our listeners a bonus episode. So we got four games to talk about this week between the Penguins and the Senators, Senators and the Blue Jackets, Senators and the Islanders, and the Hurricanes versus the Senators. But before we do that, let's hit the music.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, Tim, let's start talking about the Penguins versus the Senators. This is a 2-1 Senators victory. Michael Bunting got the lone Pens goal. Sens goal scored by Jake Sanderson and Drake Batherson in overtime. Shot for 39, 35 for Ottawa. I gotta tell you, watching this game, the one thing that really stood out to me is how cooked Pittsburgh is. What a fall from what they used to be, man.
Yeah, like this was just a weird game to watch. There'd be long periods of Pittsburgh not doing a whole heck of a lot, then followed by just fairly impressive zone time. Both goalies, though, played very well. Like Tristan Jarry, if it wasn't for Jarry and even Korpisalo, this could have been like a 3-3 game. Pretty easy.
It could have, but it also, when you see, so, I want to say it was either Giroux or Joseph, the goal that got called back.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you, honest question. Do you think that should have been called back?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. And thankfully, Jake Sanderson following that got Ottawa on the board. And I gotta tell you, I was really happy how he played in this game.
Yeah, so this has definitely been one of the games where you really see what Jake Sanderson can be at the NHL level. Even when, and like this week, I haven't been soup as happy as I normally am with the Sanderson Zoo pairing. But I've definitely been happy with Sanderson. Just that extra step and the ability to just kind of push the puck off and then get back into a winning, like a position to beat the goaltender. And we especially see that on the goal. He starts the breakout, gets it to Giroux. And then Giroux gets it to Joseph. Joseph then finds Sanderson walking into the slot. Like, that's just intelligent play that comes from solid rush and great puck management. That's one of the things that I'm hopeful about for next year is we just get even more development from Jake Sanderson.
It'll be really good. It'll be really good. Now, another thing that was really good about this game, Tim, that overtime winner by Drake Batherson. I gotta tell you, 10 out of 10 times you try that, it doesn't go in.
That was definitely a sheesh moment. And let's talk about Zach Ostapchuk. He did not look out of place in the NHL in his first game. And he is the reason that this rush even starts. He notices that there's a failed pass in the out zone, works the puck off of Crosby, passes it off, bounces it off the boards to get it to Batherson, which allows him to get off the ice, change for Stützle. And then get the who then gets the puck back to Batherson and scores. Just incredibly heads up play from the rookie.
No, he looked pretty decent in this game. And I love the fact that his mom was in the building.
Yeah. And like they've definitely, like if you haven't yet read the article about Zach Ostapchuk's journey to the NHL and just how hard both him and his mother pushed to get there, Ian Mendez did a beautiful job in The Athletic talking about it. So if you get a chance, do read it.
No, I gotta tell you, no, I'm not a subscriber to The Athletic, but I gotta ask about that article. Was there anything regarding a possible return of the once great Erik Karlsson to Ottawa?
That has been thrown around a lot because like it's a fun idea to play with, right?
Honestly, I'm very interested. That's the thing about Karlsson. At that cap hit we would have to take, I don't know if I would want him back, but it seems like a lot of the chips would be there if he's willing to come back.
Yeah.
Because you have the owner who pissed him off is no longer here. You have a new ownership who's trying to mend every fence and every bridge with the fan base and the players. His wife's from Ottawa. He seems to love the city. The fans love him. And I love the fact that when the media in Ottawa asked him about it, he just looks at him and goes, "Yeah, that's the Canadian media for you." And that's the thing, because people could have taken that in such a wrong way when you if you just hear it out of context. But for the years that we had him as a senator, there's nothing about this and what how he said it and what he said that really surprised me. That just seems like, yeah, that's just Eric being Eric.
Pretty much. Like I wouldn't mind having him back, but it's also like it's tough because it's he does I'm not sure he fits on the team, to be honest. And like who would be going back the other way?
Yeah, I don't know, because I know people are saying, "Oh, we should trade Karlsson for Shabbat 1v1," which is a terrible idea.
Yeah, don't do that. The offense is still there. Like he is still a great defenseman, but it's like I do wonder how many years he has left in the tank, especially with the injuries and surgeries he's had. Like that really does become my worry.
Yeah, I mean, as a Senators fan, I know it'd be so cool to mend that bridge with him. Following everything he went through in his last year in the center, I think it'd just be too much to really bring him back.
Yeah,
And
especially with.
also with a cap hit, how much of that would the Penguins have to retain? Because the Sharks are already retaining salary when they got rid of him to Pittsburgh.
They probably have to. The only way it works for Ottawa is if they retain half. But there's no way you'd be able to pay them to retain half.
Not at all, Tim. Not at all. Senators versus Blue Jackets. It's a 3-2 over. Sorry, this is a 3-2 Ottawa shootout victory. Sens goals scored by Claude Giroux and Tim Stützle, both whom got the goals in the shootout. Blue Jackets goals scored by Boone Jenner and Alexander Nylander, with Alex Texier getting the shootout goal for the Jackets. Shots were 37 even. I did not watch this game. I was actually playing a game I picked up on Xbox Game Pass, Dead Island 2. I was playing it with my buddy.
Nice.
Yeah, and honestly, it seemed like it was a better choice because honestly, those games with the Jackets, they're just slogs to watch.
Yeah, dull would be the right way to describe it. Anton Forsberg forgot that you are, in fact, allowed to stop the first shot of the game. And from there, the first two periods, it was pretty much all Ottawa. And then the third period started, and Columbus just really took it to the Senators, ending with that Alex Nylander goal, and then they just kind of disappeared for the rest of the night. And Giroux and Stützle took it from there.
They did both in regular time and in the shootout.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird. Like, I don't even really remember, like, what it was like when Ottawa was winning more games to go to shootouts, because it just feels like we don't see a lot of the shootout in the last couple of years, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams now they're trying to play for 3-on-3 OT. Because honestly,
Yeah.
that's where teams are really winning it nowadays.
Yeah, because it just doesn't feel like well, this year we just haven't really gotten to overtime a ton in the first place, but just feels like there's less shootouts, you know?
Yeah, and the shootouts are one of those things where I think the novelty is worn off for me. It was cool. It was a cool thing they introduced after the lockout. But I think a couple of years in, it just seems more like a gimmick.
Yeah, it's like, I get it. I get why they do the shootout. You need a way to end a game on time if you're not going to have ties. So it's like, I completely understand why it's there.
But also, I know that there's been people online who've argued about just continuous 3-on-3. But it seems like most games in overtime with the 3-on-3, they end before the shootout even gets to it. Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about this game. The Claude Giroux slap shot in the shootout.
Love. Like, just very fun stuff.
It is. And the only other comment I got is, I mean, those Blue Jacket jerseys, they're simple yet effective. I kind of like them. Not crazy about the logo, though, but that goes without saying. Tim, are you ready to head off into the third game of the episode?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it. Sens versus Islanders. This is a 4-3 Senators victory. Sens goes scored by Brady Tkachuk with the hat trick and the overtime winner and Ridly Greig. Islanders goes scored by Matt Martin, Kyle Palmieri, and Bo Horvat. Shots were 33-30 for the Islanders. You gotta love a game where the captain gets the hat trick.
You really do. And this was kind of a tight fought afternoon game. Really, in the sense that there were times where each team decided they were going to play hockey, and there were other times where they just didn't. But overall, Ottawa was the better team throughout the game.
They were, and I think that's one of those things with the afternoon games, is you're never quite sure which Sens team ends up showing up.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it just felt weird. Where you had Ottawa just really kind of controlled the shots, controlled the pace until like the last 10 minutes of the third there, where it just kind of fell off.
And it was one of those games where, quite honestly, I completely forgot they were playing at 9:30 in the morning, my time. So when I got up, Katrina put the game on TV for me and I just laid in bed and watched it. But I'll tell you one really cool thing about this game. So I've talked about our bod, McCauley, friend of the show. He and Mrs. McCauley made the trek to Belmont, New York to check out the game. And it's actually really cool. I believe it was on the second Tkachuk goal where the camera is facing the goal where Brady shoots it just inside the blue line. There's a guy right behind the net in a red jersey with a black hat on. And I saw that. I was like, it's him. It's McCauley.
That's sick.
It was sick. And you know who actually didn't look too bad in this game? Jonas Korpisalo.
Honestly, yeah. There was one goal where you're just like, really, Corpy?
Yeah, the Palmieri goal should have had. The Matt Martin, I mean, there's nothing he could have done on that, though.
And the Horvat goal was just really good cycling on the power play. And Ottawa had just... the legs had left them. Like, 6-on-4 is hard to begin with. So it was just a nice goal. But yeah, Brady Tkachuk involved, scores a hat trick. Tim Stützle involved in 3 of the 4 goals. Just a very good night for Ottawa's top lines. Eric Brännström gets himself a nice marker on Brady Tkachuk's first.
Yeah, and we can't forget Ridly Greig and Timmy Stu with the beauty play to set up the Greig goal.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Greig goal, I thought it was Stutzel's at first. Just seeing like how that whole play evolves. You see the Greig pass, and then on TV, I didn't even notice Stützle passed it back to Greig. Just from the standard TV angle. And then you watch again, it's like, oh, that was such a deft little move by Stützle to get it across to Greig. And yeah, Varlamov just had no chance. Because he already committed to getting to Stützle, so by the time that it got to Greig, he's not sliding back, right?
No, it was really great to see Ottawa get the W in this one. Not great when you're, you know, trying to go for that first pick. after we already know we're not making the playoffs. But one thing about the TSN broadcast for this game, though, I apologize if I can't recall the context of what they were talking about. So Frank Corrado,
yeah,
he's on the panel, and I apologize, I can't remember who the woman's name was with him, and he made a mention. There was a movie that came out in the mid 1990s. Now I know you've never seen the movie. Yeah. Have you ever heard of the movie Sudden Death?
Yes. I've never seen it, but I heard of it.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
With the Pittsburgh Penguins thing, yeah.
Yes. He made a mention to that in the broadcast, and I started laughing because all I thought of was my buddy Trey phoning me one day because I had never heard of this movie. He phoned me. And he goes, dude, I just discovered there's this movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme where he gets into a fight scene with the Pittsburgh Penguins mascot.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I wonder who dug that up, because like that movie's kind of, well, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's not good.
That's the thing. I had this conversation at work today about Jean-Claude. And I said, you know, when you look at like the action movies from the 80s and 90s, especially the action stars, I feel like Jean-Claude Van Damme is not a good actor. He's a good action star. But none of them are as bad as Steven Seagal.
Yeah, I don't really understand how we got Lawman.
Yeah, like, I get where, like, Under Siege was a thing. Because Die Hard was a thing.
But yeah, that is just really something else.
It is. So, Tim, because we had an Ottawa Senators game on Sunday night, let's quickly talk about that. The fourth and final game of the evening, Hurricanes versus Senators. This is a 7-2 Hurricanes victory. You know what? I'm not even going to give a box score. Here's the bit.
Stop! He's already dead.
Yeah, again, this is another game where I was playing Dead Island 2 instead of watching the game, and honestly, can't say I missed much.
This is a weird game where I felt Ottawa had the first period was a bit weak. The second period, well, the first period was fine, could have been better. The second period was much better. And the third period wasn't terrible, but it wasn't Lamo 7 goals. Like, this is a game where I feel like it was a lot closer than it seemed. And I don't think, like, a few of them, it's like, yeah, there were some defensive miscues, but there were other ones where it's like, those aren't NHL goals.
No, it was just a tough night for Anton Forsberg altogether. And I do have a couple of notes on this game, but I gotta ask, real, was there a reason why the Senators wore white in this game?
I was gonna ask you, because I didn't know. It was very weird, though.
It was so weird, because I saw it on the replay. I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and I'm scratching my head. Like, I'm not even sure why they moved away from white being the home jerseys. But I think because over 20 years of seeing dark jerseys being the home, it just seems like that's more proper, I guess, now? Question mark? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's for jersey sales. Maybe that's why they did it.
Might be it. Well, I know it's like when the Sens usually play against the Maple Leafs on St. Patrick's Day, they'll let the Leafs wear the St. Pat's jersey.
Yeah, but that's a Leafs tradition, though.
I would have understood if Carolina decided to bust out the green Hartford jerseys.
You're absolutely right. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm scratching my heads here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why they didn't do that. Now, we got to talk about our cover athlete, Tomáš Chabot. First game back from injury. I got to tell you, I loved this goal. Just picking that top corner. Beauty.
Do you want to talk about the Stützle goal?
Oh, I got to tell you, that's got to be one of the better goals he scored this season, dancing around Jalen Chatfield and putting her home.
Yeah, and it's just kind of that stutter step to finish it off. Just beautiful stuff. I really liked the Brännström-Chabot line. When they were on the ice, the puck was moving the right way. And I felt like they had a pretty good night in a way that I didn't think the other Sens lines defense pairings did. Like, I just found Sanderson Zoob got crushed. And it didn't help that the Stutzle-Giroux line had a hard time keeping up with the Aho line. But yeah, just Sanderson and Zoob just couldn't really do anything against that in their match against the top line. While I felt Shabbat Branstrom matched up well against them, they took all their matchups pretty well, honestly. And it's just one of those things where it's like if Ottawa had Shabbat healthy for the whole season, like it's the season's so frustrating because there's so many ifs. Like, what if Shabbat played the full season? What if Pinto wasn't suspended? What if we didn't sign Korpisalo?
What if we actually had good goaltending?
Yeah. What if we had competent goaltending? I'm not even asking for good, I'm asking for competent.
Yes, we're not asking Milhouse tied to the posts.
Pretty much.
So sorry, sidebar here, given that we were just mentioning about sudden death, I don't know why I looked on Jean-Claude Damme's Wikipedia. He was in Kung Fu Panda.
Why?
He was a voice actor, Kung Fu Panda, and he was also in the sequel to Minions, The Rise of Gru.
The
The more you know, Tim, the more you know.
more you know. Did I want to know?
I don't think it's a more of did you want to know? The meaning is you now know.
That's true.
So, Tim, I don't have any more comments to make on these games. If you are ready to close off this episode for another week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Third Line Plug Sensecast. I hope you've enjoyed it because, believe me, Tim and I love recording it for you. You can find the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Google Play. As well, you can find us on social media at Third Line Plug. You can find me on social media at Great White Gipster. And you can find Tim on Twitter at M901. Honey Badger. Okay, so for the games of the week, Tim. Because we talked about the Hurricanes game, we don't need to talk about that for next week. So we only got three games to talk about. We've got tomorrow night, at the time of this recording, we are in Boston to play the Boston Bruins. Thursday, we return home to play the St. Louis Blues. And Saturday, we travel to New Jersey to play the Devils.
You want to talk about a disappointing team? The Devils.
Yeah, that's another team that's just been injured to hell and back, but then they have not had good goaltending.
Yeah, like I feel like Ottawa fans and New Jersey fans, they have an understanding.
Yeah, do you think with the Devil struggles that gave them the initiative in the offseason to maybe go get Markstrom?
They kind of have to, because unless Kohokin is what they think he is, they kind of have to.
Yeah. Because I hate to tell you, Devil fans, Martin Brodeur is not going to be walking through that into that locker room anytime soon.
No. And I'm not sure his knees would let him.
No, not at all. Not at all. Until next week, guys, I am your host, Taylor Gibson.
And this has been Tim Jensen.
Go Sens, guys.
Woo!